The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I don't know if you're listening to News Talk Breakfast this morning, but Michael O'Leary was in flying form. Esther van der Linde should be sacked. That only when July happens that the French air traffic controllers go on strike. And he made the not inconsiderable point that it doesn't affect French flights. It's the overflight going, say, from Ireland to Italy or Spain. So it just is nonsensical, and it happens every year. Take a listen to the bowled Michael.
Of course they're going to do more. They're the French. It's June. It's July. It's time to go on strike. I mean, they're not striking for more money. They're not striking for better terms and conditions. These guys, every summer, just invent new reasons to go on strike. 2 years ago, we had 53 days of French ATC strikes because they were objecting to Macron's pension reforms, which they were exempt from.
Ah, he is box office, there's no doubt about it. Also box office is Owen Curry, Air and Travel magazine editor, because he will know of the unfunny side of this in terms of the disruption and flights cancelled. Good morning, Owen. What is happening today and yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday, well, 1,500 flights overall. It will probably run, by my calculations, over 2,000 by the end of today. We lost seven rotations today from Dublin Airport. Four airlines affected, Ivan. Aer Lingus and Air France both fly to Paris, Charles de Gaulle. Paris was an exceptional case today. Ryanair lost the Nantes and the Beauvais flights, and Transavia lost the Orly flight this evening. So, and Ryanair lost to Nice as well. The way it works is the French air traffic control unions, and there are three of them, I'll go into that in a minute, they announced that they're going on strike. The DGAC, the French Civil Aviation Authority, calculates how many people will be on strike because they're dealing with three unions, and they say to the airlines, reduce your flights by this percentage. The airlines calculate, you know, if you've got two flights to Nice, you cancel one of them, as happened. They were asked to cancel 50%. If you've got 10, you cancel 5. So the airlines decide. But then when the play begins, when the ball is thrown in yesterday, the cancellations grew. In Ryanair's case, they nearly more than double what they had calculated for in the first place. And as Michael has pointed out, overflights affected. We lost a Murcia rotation yesterday, even though Murcia's in Spain. So it's really, really difficult for airlines to cope with, and for passengers a little bit easier, because the main message for passengers is it's the airline's problem. They're the ones who have to get you. They're contracted to get you to exactly where they're supposed to, not a nearby airport, and they will get you there as expediently as possible on the same day if possible.
You said there was three unions.
Yeah. It's normally there's a big union and a smaller union in air traffic control politics, trade union politics across Europe. In France's case, we have one very large union, and that is not even part of the strike at the moment. It has about 45% of the members, and there are two at about 16-17% each. They're also concentrated in different areas. The reason Marseille has been such a hotbed of air traffic control strikes, one of the smaller unions, is its power base is there, and it's been one of the more belligerent. Paris, they asked, is where it's really the target, because, you know, while Ryanair is important to us, Air France is the target. Once you get Air France really disrupted, the French government will listen to you. That's the logic. And Paris, the 25% of the flights had to be cancelled through Paris yesterday, but it's up to 40% today, and that shows where the target is. The three-union scenario is important in the history, in understanding the history of all this disruption, which, as Michael O'Leary says, comes up every summer. They sort of tag-team. They're in competition for members. They're in competition for belligerence, or for, you know, militancy. If one of them gets a deal, the other one says, I can get a better deal, and they go and strike to get it. And that means that you have a tag team of strike. When you finally got a deal with one of them, you might have the other two on your back. It's really, really complicated for the DGAC and the French trade union law. There's a long history of revolution in France. Trade union law gives a lot of leeway that wouldn't be allowed in other jurisdictions. And what is that's sort of explicable, but what is inexplicable to me is that they never did what Bertie Ahern did in this country. Bertie doesn't get credit for a lot of things nowadays, but one of the things he did was brought in that tremendous layered industrial relations machinery we have with the WRC and the Labour Court and the National Implementation Board, because anyone looking at reeling in the years, for instance, Ivan, will see bin strike, bus strikes. That's what we were living through in the 70s, 80s. It's still going on in France. They never brought in the arbitration systems that we, complex arbitration systems we have in Ireland. That's one of the calls by Airlines for Europe, the group to which Michael O'Leary belongs this morning.
But the butt of Michael O'Leary's complaint was that we have a common aviation policy and an EU approach to aviation. Why is it that the Commission have allowed this to be an issue for a member state jurisdiction when it's so patently an international EU-wide governance?
Ivan, you spent a lot of time in politics. You were a very powerful politician in Ireland. You spent a lot of time in Brussels. When it comes to a government facing down their own vested interests, they're not as vociferous as they are with telling other people what to do. The French would have to face down not just their three aviation unions, but also probably the entire trade union movement. We've got strong armed statements, by the way, by the French Minister for Transport saying he won't give way on this issue. The issue is very minor. It's something to do with using facial recognition to clock in and out of work. But it would take a very, very brave French politician to face down the long tradition of complex industrial relations in France. And Brussels seems to turn a blind eye to that. They're very good at bringing in general pious policy. Everybody should do this. Everybody should do that. But for instance, in my long years covering aviation, I've heard them talking about the single European sky, which would save lots of time for passengers, would actually be very, very good for saving emissions as well. It would reduce aviation emissions by about 20%. It's been talked about and talked about and talked about. But when it comes to the hard decision-making that politicians sometimes have to do, they aren't being made for some whatever reason.
Okay. So thing you do best, Owen, is the travel disruption. So people, you could just imagine today, tomorrow, booking, you know, looking forward to their family holiday, package holiday. What's the story on the ground?
Two important points. First point is don't fret. Don't go trying to rebook. People do that occasionally. It's really the airline's problem. They're going to get you to where you are supposed to go. I've heard of people that have flown into neighbouring countries, Geneva, and taken the wonderful train service or whatever, and that has worked for some people. But it's the airline will get you there as expediently as possible, and they're getting lots of practice thanks to the French air traffic control. Second point, we all have travel insurance. It covers us for wherever we go in the year, health, all of that stuff, lost bags. But there is an extra that you need to put onto it because it's not part of the normal travel insurance provided by the four major travel insurance providers in Ireland. There are lots more of them. It's flight disruption. Doesn't cost a lot more, about 6 to 10 euro extra. And that will look after situations where you have a strike in France or a fire in Heathrow or the English air traffic control system breaking down. It's very useful to have, particularly when there are knock-on expenses like car hire, hotels, events, sporting or entertainment events that are affected by a disruption such as this. Disruption is the new norm. The French air traffic control are going to be on strike all through the summer. They're going to pick busy days. We have another strike in Helsinki today at the airport. It's pretty much to be expected. Don't fret. The airline will sort it out. And for all the other little bits, make sure you have that flight disruption insurance.
But you say all that. But I mean, like, if you're planning to go out, say, on Friday or Saturday and it's put back a day, you're at the loss of your day's holiday in the, you know, in the apartment or the hotel or whatever.
Big time. If you lose your day, there isn't a compensation element. If you do, there are alternatives being offered by some of the tour operators for rebooking for other dates. But it's the equivalent of a traffic jam causing you to miss your flight. It's one of those things that you've got to really suck up. And if there's an expense element, such as the hotel bill or the car hire, as I said, flight disruption insurance is the thing to have.
All right. All the latest, check it out with the airline, seems to be the central point. It's their obligation to fix it for you. Ryanair going berserk, quite understandably. EU Commission sitting on their hand doing nothing. And it's the French disruption as usual. Owen Corry, Air and Travel Magazine editor, thank you. Now, someone text in on that. Some of the French air traffic controllers go on strike so they can take the ferry to Ireland during peak season so they can go on holiday in Connemara. They should be stopped and turn around and rust there. Right. See how that'll go. Okay, so all the traffic, we're going back now today, Parliament Street in Dublin city centre is closing to traffic except early morning for deliveries. What's your response? So all the traffic that uses Parliament Street now will have to go up Fishamble Street. It will be chaos. All of these road closures, I understand they need to open up the city. At the same time, it forces us all onto surrounding streets and ultimately the M50. Great if you own a toll bridge. John says, since they pedestrianised Capel Street, it's a no-go street if you have babies or young kids. Capel Street is a disaster with scooters and bikes. In a few years, someone else says, all the restaurants and shops will be gone in Dublin city centre. It's destroying the city centre. Well, I don't know if that's quite true, because people will be on the Lewis and the buses into town and the Dart and so on. Dublin City Council tinkering with traffic flow is smothering our city. Pretty soon the only thing moving on our streets will be the tumbleweed. And there'll be plenty of that as they seem to have stopped spraying the weed killer. Well, no police and stuff. It's a Friday. Cheer up. Get over it. We'll survive this as we've survived everything else. Oh.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.